From the heart of Broadway? I forgot my own line. In historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where you can't steal my line if I fuck it up first. It's Five Zillow 1985.
Sincerest form of flattery is impersonation or whatever that line may be.
That was awful. You give so many people so much shit about stealing your lines, and you really do fuck it up.
Yeah, I can't
But that's
right
okay. Like you said, you can't impersonate a screw-up. I mean, it just is what
you
it is.
You can.
Well,
no one's impersonating Donald Trump yet.
Don't encourage anybody. That could be easily done by masses of humans.
Donald Trump is a parody of himself. It's like a futuristic Donald Trump came back in time. I don't know. Finish the joke.
Well, actually, I was going to go reverse.
I left the joke halfway through.
I feel like Donald Trump is a caricature of a Mad Men character plus 30 years of baked tanning and inebriation.
I hear he's a bullfrog with a toupee.
I like the many hairstyles of Donald Trump. He has the top of a corn cob. Is the cockatiel.
Yes, my personal favorite.
I also like the cockatiel. I feel the need to see this one more. Hey, if you're listening out there, you're wondering who's talking to you. I am Shannon Young, of course, your host. As always, we're going to bring that back. Right next to me, I got the host of the sports show, has no name.
Podzilla 1985 Sports.
Podzilla
at this point, we'll stick with it.
Sportzilla 1985?
Sportzilla?
I'm fine with that. We need to make some form of image of Godzilla holding a baseball bat.
Slime Square? New York?
Yeah,
it's Cody Sandducky. Oh, no, sorry.
That's fine. I am fully willing to take on that moniker. That's my professional name now, is Cody Sandducky.
Will you be using that on ESPN?
I have debated it. Like the one day I've been on this week so far, I've thought about introducing myself again as Cody Sandducky. I'm even thinking about creating a Twitter handle. Which is the picture of a mallard
in a suit. That's what you need to do. You need to jump on this now, start merchandising, because merchandising is the most important part of this. Remember, Zach was going to have the shirt that it was a dick, and it said, like, dis dick on it, I think, or something like that. I don't know.
Probably was just dis and then a penis.
It was just
probably.
Dick.
Probably. I think
Zach's
mine's
got problems.
If it's your one thing, if it's your shtick, you go with it.
You know, I'll give it to him. I haven't heard him say dis dick in forever.
That's a long time.
I gave him a talking to. I said, Zach, look, man, you got to cut that dick part out because it's starting to drive me crazy. You know, it's not quite as endearing as you think it is.
Right. We're not a family-friendly podcast of sorts. But
no,
we're
not at all.
We're not of the phallic variety of podcasts either, so we have to find our niche, and I don't think that was it.
No, I personally curse like a sailor. I try not to, but it happens.
I mean, we all do. We all do, especially when we get heated. It happens.
Especially you, Jesse Kimball, who I still need to introduce.
Hey, what up?
Hey, Jesse Kimball.
I don't swear that. Okay, yeah, never mind.
Shit, I just hit the shit out of my fucking mic. God damn.
Yes,
see, that's a lot of cursing
right
there.
And we're done, yeah.
Yeah.
We've already hit that ceiling right there.
We've hit the quota for
the night.
Oh,
that's not even close to the ceiling.
I set my bar really low. I don't have a lot of expectations for anything for myself, so.
We stared at the doorknob right there is what we did. Ceiling has not even been approached.
No, we're far from ceiling level. But we will start cussing here pretty soon because you guys know what we're here to talk about tonight. We're here to talk about healthcare in the United States. Now, a lot of people are saying, all right, even amongst Podzilla 1985, that is a weird topic that you guys are going to be discussing. Here's why we're discussing it. Our very own good friend, Zach Kurgis, suffered a collapsed lung yesterday on his way to work. Took an ambulance ride to the hospital and is probably going to be, hopefully not, but knee-deep in debt at this point because he doesn't have insurance. And do you know what the cost of an ambulance ride alone is without insurance?
It's pretty insane.
I'm thinking $5,000, $6,000.
It's definitely in the thousands.
Yeah.
Just to go from Jackson to Cape.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's quite that much, but it is well over $1,000.
Yeah, like it's between one to two, I'm pretty sure. At least.
I like to be pessimistic, aim on the high end.
Fair. Yeah. I know from, okay, so this is a true story that happened to a friend of mine. She got into a car accident and, the other party claimed to be injured They weren't. It was a whole big deal. But either way, it was right in front of Southeast Hospital. Like, right near Kappa Hall. So okay. A couple of blocks away.
So she could have walked there.
Yeah, the person that was injured could have, walked easily. But they call an ambulance. And the ambulance drives them from Kappa Hall Park on Broadway, mind you, from Kappa Hall Park on Broadway to Southeast Hospital up to the ER. So not even a mile. That was a $780 ambulance ride. And the reason I know that is because it was itemized on the insurance claim that the victim made against my friend who was technically at fault for the accident. And by technically, it was completely her fault for the accident. But the person she hit just blew it way out of proportion.
Well, you know why ambulance rides are so expensive. It's because they are fueled on the blood of dragons.
I imagine that's pretty hard to come by.
Yeah.
And I could see that. You know, $1,000 for, you know, a drop.
A pint of dragon blood goes for. Woo!
And see, you guys are being a lot nicer. I was thinking the blood of the victims that rode inside of them, but that's a little too dark, maybe.
No, that's fine.
Plus, okay. It's much cheaper.
We'll do that.
That's right. Believe me, as a blood donor who actively gives it, I'm pretty sure they should just start siphoning out of me and just pouring it right in. See, I'd be willing to contribute to the ambulance cost.
I don't give blood. I take it.
Well, Conan, the barbarian, joining us tonight.
I am what you may call a vampire of sorts.
I hear the lamentations of the women and the OBGYNs.
Have you guys ever wondered why all the podcasts are recorded at night?
Have you ever seen Shannon Young in the daylight? Yes, you have. Plenty of times.
Once or twice, yes.
So that Pokemon conspiracy is disproven.
Well, there goes the basis of part three.
So the good news is Zach's okay. I talked to him today. He's in good spirits. He's definitely sore. He's got tubes sticking out of him.
Did we figure out what the cause was? Or?
Well, you know, I looked it up independently, and it turns out that it can happen. Mostly it's due to either like a stab wound or a gunshot. Thankfully, neither of those befell our friend Zach. But it can also happen to people that are skinny and who smoke. Now I'll give you two guesses on what Zach is.
First one doesn't count, I assume.
No, but, you know, take your time. Yeah. Zach Kurgis, if you've ever seen him, like a skinny skinny predator.
Right now he looks like a skinny white Rastafarian.
Yeah. But we love Zach.
Yeah. You mentioned this. Everyone I know personally who had a collapsed lung fits under that bill. Skinny. I don't think I've ever actually had anyone who's suffered a collapsed lung, maybe once under a football injury. But other than that, it's always been skinny and smokes.
Yeah. And our friend Derek, who also works at the store, also had a collapsed lung last year, doesn't smoke, but is also very skinny.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to worry about when it comes to collapsed lungs. Fine.
Unless we get stabbed or shot.
Which, working here on Broadway, much more likely.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing with the healthcare thing, and my first thought when this happened, I feel bad and I'm sorry, Zach. My first thought wasn't, I hope Zach's okay, because I assumed he would be okay. Yeah. My first thought was, how the fuck is he going to pay for that? Because that ambulance ride and that hospital stay and those x-rays and all that shit, you're looking at least a 10 grand bill.
Yeah, minimum,
at
I would say.
At least.
And that is the problem with the United States healthcare system, is all it takes is one thing to go wrong with your body, and you are financially ruined for some people, for
life.
I'm angry. I'm boiling. For the rest of your life, yeah.
You take on college debt, basically, if you have any form of sickness.
Yeah, all it takes is for one thing to go wrong.
So, I mean, I have personal experience with this. Shannon, do you want to wait on this, or do you want to go ahead and jump in?
Let's just jump into it. Jesse, that's why I invited you. please give us your first-hand knowledge of the topic at hand.
Okay, so back when I was in college, my freshman year, I was in the dorms, I got strep throat first. That's what started it.
The kissing disease.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
The fun way.
The deep-rooting kissing disease.
So I got strep throat. It's the point of the story here. So got strep throat. Went to the on-campus nursing staff. Because I didn't have health insurance, I wasn't going to go to the fucking doctor over a sore throat. But, you know, strep is something kind of serious. So I wanted to get it checked out. And they were doing free examinations there.
Right.
So they swabbed me and everything else, did the test, said that I did not have strep, so gave me some lozenges and some cough syrup and sent me on my way.
Oh, that's a feel-good story.
Oh, we're not done.
That's the prelude. I was doing that, you know, the cough syrup, the lozenges and stuff like that. It seemed to clear up for the most part. Turns out I did have strep, and it got into my bloodstream.
Oh.
And that caused a whole host of issues, the most prevalent of which was pneumonia. Now, what ended up happening, I was just, you know, going to class, doing my normal thing, and I started feeling sick again. I was like, God damn, I'm getting this sore throat again. So I decide I'm going to take a day, you know, just rest, because most of the time with me, like, if I have a fever, I'm not feeling good, I sleep, and I'm good. Like, that
keep
cures,
on keeping on.
Yeah, just, it cures just whatever's ailing me.
Yeah.
I'm good to go. So I tried that, and I woke up, and I felt even worse. And at this point now, I'm delirious. So I continue to believe that sleeping will cure what ails me. So it started with pneumonia. It progressed into some sort of, it also gave me a weird stomach bug, and I had a sinus infection. That's what was determined after 3 days in the hospital. I was admitted to the hospital with a fever of like 105.
Good night.
Something like that. I may have lost quite a few brain cells. I don't know. I graduated college.
Hey, that's all counts.
Yeah, but anyway, so I get admitted. Apparently, I almost died. Like, that's pretty legit. I was yellow at one point because my organs were shutting down.
You were a fucking Simpson there for a while.
I was. Like, my mom was freaking out. I had no idea why. I was still delirious. I'm like, I just need some more sleep. Honestly, were it not for my then roommate Trevor Camp, I may not be sitting here with you guys today. Because I, in my delirium, I was just like, I need more sleep. And, yeah, no. And
listen, I'm thirsty.
And from what I hear, that's how I was talking as well. And, yeah, Trevor was keeping me hydrated. Like, he was just leaving out bottles of water for me whenever he went to class. And I was just sleeping. And finally, he's like, dude, you are not okay. We need to get you to the emergency room now.
And, you know, at least he was leaving you water. Because if it would have been Bob, he would have left me a 2 liter of Pepsi. and I would not be standing here. I'd be sitting here, which I am, but I couldn't use my legs because of the diabetes.
Or if it was a general college student, it could have been a fifth of whatever it would have been.
A fifth of whatever we could get
also,
our hands on.
Also true. Well, I mean, that may have helped. Who knows?
I was gonna say, has some bacteria killing properties.
So, I mean, they had no idea what was wrong with me at the hospital. So they run a whole host of tests. They take blood cultures. I was even in an MRI at one point. At least I think I was. I don't remember. This was a very blurry time for me. Patches are still missing.
If not for the hospital bill, you may have been abducted by aliens.
That's true.
And charged you for it anyway.
And they sent you a bill.
But by God, did I get that bill. Now, just from St. Francis alone, I didn't even take an ambulance. I was driven there by my friends, Trevor and Allie. Yeah, no ambulance involved. Taken to the ER, signed in. I was even sitting out in the waiting room. They didn't even admit me immediately. So all that. And I ended up being there for 3 nights. Now, just for the hospital's general fees was $14,000.
Yeah.
For 3 nights. Now, that's just the hospital general fees. I also had to pay the doctors that they had. I had 3 different doctors. They were just on staff physicians, I guess. And that was about another $4,000 for the 3 different doctors. Then they had my blood test results, my scans, x-rays, and all that stuff that they outsourced to Cape Radiology, Cape whatever, all the other places that St. Francis sends that shit out.
Yeah.
That was in total about another $9,000.
So what was your grand total after all your adventures? Where did they put you?
I think somewhere in the neighborhood of $24,000.
$24,000 for 3 nights stay plus tests plus procedures.
Yes.
Think about that, listeners. $24,000.
Now, keep in mind, I also did not have insurance. I was a freshman in college. This was before, you know, you could be on your parents' health plan.
This is before Obamacare.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was 18, so I was off my parents' health plan. I was on my own, and that was it. No health insurance. Fortunately, my friend you heard me mention a minute ago, Allie, was the other one helping take care of me in this ordeal. Her mom worked as a nurse at the hospital, and she got me hooked up with a financial aid program that St. Francis offers for people that don't have very much money. Now, the downside is when I filled out this form and sent it in, the board didn't believe me. They said there's no possible way that you could be existing with the like financial description you gave. And I'm like, I assure you I am. Here is proof. And then they finally wrote off the St. Francis bills. That took 6 months to do. And by the time that happened, all of the outsourcing that they had done had already reported me to credit bureaus.
Ah,
and they had already reported me to collections, and that was also happening. They were constantly calling me, beating down my door, and I kept trying to tell them, I can't afford to pay you. I don't have no money.
How long did they assault you before, you know, you got it taken? Or how long did this continue, is what I'm trying to say.
After, it took me about 4 years. Like, I had just, right before I graduated college, was when I finally got the last of everything taken care of, and my credit score was like 450.
In the toilet.
Yeah. Because all of those, like, basically, I had defaulted on each of them, and then they went to a credit bureau, and they were about to take me to court. And, yeah, like, had I not gotten approved for that, I guess, financial aid or whatever through St. Francis when I did, I very likely would have been sued, taken to court by each of the credit bureaus, and my wages would have been garnished for the rest of my life.
It would have ruined your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have handicapped you forever.
I mean, my credit score is still not great. Like, I'm almost back to a respectable number.
And how long was this?
Let's see. I graduated college in 2011. So 4 years, a total of 8 years after this happened, I'm just now rebuilding my credit to a respectable amount.
And that's off one case of strep throat.
Yeah. Yep. It started with a case of strep throat that was misdiagnosed by SEMO. And,
Shout out to SEMO.
Yeah. And the strep virus, or it was bacterial strep, got into my bloodstream, caused pneumonia. That, I guess, lowered my immune system. So I caught a stomach bug that was going around. And on top of everything else, a sinus infection.
Now think about this. That is that's terrible. I'm sure that was very painful. But in the grand scheme of things, you got off pretty easy, you would say. Medically.
Yeah. I'll say medically, yeah.
Yeah. Now think about the people that go in there for heart surgery.
Oh, yeah.
They go in for, stroke or something that they have to really work on. I mean, I was looking at stuff earlier about the average hospital stay. I mean, a lot of the times you're looking at $30,000-$40,000 for one thing to go wrong with you.
Yeah, that was actually, you know, my other story is my grandfather, late last year was admitted to the hospital. He had an abscessed tooth. That infection that he just never took care of because my grandpa is tough as nails and he's like, I'm not going to go to any doctor over a little bit of tooth pain. No. So, yeah, basically.
By the way, I want to throw out a disclaimer. If you ever feel like your life is in danger or you're in a lot of pain, don't take that approach.
No, don't. And here's why. So my grandpa had an abscessed tooth, had an infection. It got into his bloodstream and got down into his heart.
What is it with your family and bloodstreams? You guys need to stop this.
Your bloodstream is cursed.
That just happens, man.
Clearly.
It happens.
It does not bode well for you guys.
Once an infection gets into your bloodstream, bad shit happens. So yeah, got into his heart. And that's where we all thought we were going to lose grandpa. I know that's like really bad to say, and it was really, really scary at the time. Like, we legitimately thought he was no longer going to be with us.
Yeah.
Fortunately, again, tough as nails, man is in his late 70s, and he, after all this open heart shit that he had to do, because he had to have open heart surgery several times, 2 months later, he's up walking around, driving around town, looking as if nothing had ever happened. The only thing he can't do now is smoke, which upsets him, but... I mean, other than
I'm honestly surprised he still doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. I actually am too. But yeah, no, he doesn't smoke anymore. However, he fortunately had really good insurance. He retired from an industrial plant. They had given him like the best insurance he could possibly get. But before
to have six zeros.
I feel like laughing like a supervillain because only a supervillain would charge $1 million to save someone's life.
I mean, he had to have, it was a total of 3 open heart surgeries because basically they had to have the first one to drain everything out because they didn't know exactly what was wrong with him. They just knew there was pressure in his heart. It needed to be fixed. And Shannon didn't silence his phone.
Professionalism.
Why is Stephen Bright calling me at 10 o'clock? No, we're going to put him on the air.
Hello, what's up?
Hey, are you...
You're live on the air, buddy.
Hi.
It's Stephen Bright, ladies and gentlemen, from Podzilla 1985.
By proxy of a phone.
Hi, what's up?
Not much. What are you guys talking about?
Healthcare system.
Healthcare system?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know
much about that.
At least you're honest about it.
What can we do for you?
I was just wanting to see if you guys were at the store, but clearly you are.
Yes, we are.
And are you guys recording right now?
Yes, we are.
Damn it, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's because Shannon forgot to silence his phone.
So this is a first for Podzilla, a live phone conversation
on the podcast.
I mean, I don't have much to contribute to the subject at hand.
Are you outside?
I was coming to the store to pick something up real quickly.
All right. Well, you have a key, right?
Yeah. I'm borrowing Chris's right now.
All right. Well, come on in, buddy.
All right. Sorry.
Stephen Bright, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Stephen.
Bye.
So, are we adding a phone a friend segment to the show from now on?
Let's put the phone off now.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
So back to your grandfather's medical expenses.
Stephen Bright, ladies and gentlemen.
Three open heart surgeries. The first one, they didn't know exactly what was wrong, but there was a lot of pressure on his heart. They needed to get it out. Mm-hmm. So they did that first. Then they figured out, you know, there was an infection involved because, you know, it just kept filling back up because they had, you know, at that point put a bunch of tubes in him to try and fix everything. Or, well, to keep everything from killing him while they figured out what was going wrong. So then they had to go back in to see what the damage was and check everything out. Then the third surgery was to actually replace one of the valves in his heart with, I think he got a pig valve.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And the pig valve alone, if I remember right from what my grandpa was saying, that one pig valve cost him $150,000.
Well, that was obviously the golden pig from Fantasyland.
No, my uncle, my grandpa were joking. It's like, for 150 grand, where's the rest of the pig?
Yeah.
Or the farm.
Cook that sumbitch up, get on a keto diet.
So, I mean, my grandpa, like, knows how to,
how to gut a pig and
he knows how to make all the meat. Like,
he'd done it himself then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have given us sausage, bacon, ribs, whatever else from this pig, and then, you know, grabbed the little valve and given it to the doctors to put in the fucking heart.
Well, I mean, clearly they couldn't use that pig because that pig is a golden pig from the Shangri-La. It's even higher than the dragon's blood for the ambulance ride.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, well, this had to be a magical pig that could basically just, like, it reached inside of itself.
Yeah, like
from
the
Simpsons. Gave them the valve.
Yeah, yeah.
And then healed up a new valve.
And then tipped his top hat to the man and.
And straightened his monocle.
Yeah, and walked away. Rich Uncle Pigs.
And walked back to his pig mansion. that he's bought with all the pig valves he's donated for $150,000
a piece. The two pig valves he's donated? I mean, I feel like I have to do a lot of 150 grand pig valves to buy a mansion.
And then he goes back to banging Rosie O'Donnell.
Full circle Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
So, yeah, that was the final surgery. And then, well, he did have to have another surgery because I don't know if they fucked something up or what, but blood started pooling over his lungs. So that was real bad. So they had to open him up again to do that. He was in the hospital for a total of like 2 weeks, maybe longer.
For $1 million.
So yeah, it cost him a little over $1 million before insurance.
Which, you know, sounds, I mean, not exactly like, but very similar to what happened to my mother. She had open heart surgery. She went in, came out okay, but then there was complications. So they put her in ICU. By the time they figured out that she had become septic and became super sick, it was unfortunately too late and she passed away. I saw the bill and it was astronomical. I mean, higher than anyone could ever pay it. Now, fortunately, my father refused to pay it. We would get the bill every once in a while. I would open it up and see these hundreds of thousands of dollars we owed. And Dad would just say, throw it away. And I'd throw it away.
Yeah.
You know,
that's one of those things
that scared the hell out of me.
Why would you feel the need to pay that
after they killed my mother?
Right.
Did I say which hospital it was? 'Cause I don't want to get sued.
No, you didn't say that.
It was St. Francis Hospital. So fuck you guys.
Have you mentioned where your grandfather's...
That was also at St. Francis.
Okay, so all St. Francis experiences.
And yeah, that was my experience as well.
Was it Dr. Bender?
Francis. I have no idea.
That motherfucker.
Is that a real doctor?
It's a real doctor. An asshole bastard.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously they did something wrong because that's why the blood started pooling over his lungs.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, shit happens. Like, there's stuff that you can't see, especially when you're dealing with a man in his late 70s. Your mom, they have no excuse for other than, like, was it in the 90s when that happened?
2007.
Oh, really?
When she passed. Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking it was much longer ago.
It was purely accidental. I never got a full explanation for what happened, but from what I understand, They messed up. They had punctured her liver, and she had just become super sick from that, just disease-ridden from it, and they didn't know and they couldn't tell. And by the time they could, you know, figured it out, it was too late. My dad actually sued them and lost because, you know, ask anyone that's ever sued a hospital, you won't win.
Yeah.
Unless you have a lawyer good enough, like, or you have practices.
Or you have definitive proof. If you come out with an arm sewed to your forehead, you've probably got a case.
Otherwise,
no, you're wasting money.
That's actually,
hey, it's Stephen Bright. Hey, Stephen.
In the flesh on the podcast, not just by audio device. I feel like we all have really crappy medical experiences, or at least by proxy of family members, because.
Well, you haven't said anything.
I have not. And,
you have a story.
I have a few, maybe not as set in stone, because one of them was at a period of time I wasn't paying attention. Since we're throwing out names, Southeast, and I'm no longer employed by a hospital, so I can't throw out medical facilities now. Southeast, my grandmother was there in 2004. That's right. Sandusky, remember it. 2004, 2005 was in, you know, as you said, 74 years old or somewhere in that range. So of an age where they're less conserved with preserving life or at least catching everything. Went in for what was assumed to be a simple triple bypass, overnight stay, come out maybe 2 days to heal up and come out the door. A week after that, this is around Christmas time of that year. Pardon me for sounding disturbing in the midst of it. No bowel movements for a week. They find out at one point during that they took out half of her colon and I think 10 inches of her large intestine, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
Never fully recovered, went on life support and passed. You know, we had
how the shit do you not know that you were removed half a colon and several feet of intestine?
Well, no, I'm saying there was not a bowel movement done for so long they had to do
that.
Which follows back to this. If you're a nursing staff, and as I've noted, IT department was my experience in a medical facility, but I've been around medical facilities enough to kind of have how that works. How do you go that long, and even in your mother's case, how do you go that long with not knowing anything? Especially as anal as they are about charting every damn breath you take.
Story about charting.
Even better.
With St. Francis. I witnessed this myself, where one day we were in there talking to the nurses about my mother's condition. At this point, she had gone into a sort of waking coma where she was awake, but she did not respond. And they were looking at her and they were talking to me about what was going on and they couldn't find the charts. They couldn't find the chart. Where are the charts? They had accidentally left it under my mother when they were moving her for, back and forth for stuff. So they had to roll my mom over and take the chart out from under her and like, well, there it is. And it's goofy little oops tone. And I thought, for many weeks after that, this is going to get me in trouble. For many weeks after that, I thought of how I would kill them all if I walked in with guns one day.
That's not acceptable. I mean, I'm not going to go out on that path. That's on whatever you're thinking. That's unacceptable to do that oops moment.
Yeah.
Now, mind you.
This is a hospital where you're paying out, in cases of Jesse's. Yeah,
millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
There are no oops moments when it's costing that much.
Or at least with something as vital as charts underneath the patient.
Yeah.
You know, charts in the room around the patient. Okay. Maybe, you know, it's on the counter by the sink. Whatever.
Yeah.
Underneath the patient. That's something that seems to ring a bell if you don't have that on your person's or at the nurse's station.
Yeah.
Now we have electronic medical records now, which is an oxymoron because there's still more paper being printed than I've ever seen in my life in medical facilities.
Right.
But unless you leave a laptop underneath the patient, you have a lot less chance of that happening.
Well, at St. Francis? I mean, I don't know.
Probably one in your backpack, one in your back pocket, and one underneath your bed 205.
With the size of tablets these days, it'd be easy to lose them under
That's right. iPad mini slipping right underneath pillowcases.
Right underneath people. You know, one of the things I hate most about what they say about President Obama, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here.
Closer to the topic at hand that we were going to discuss.
Yeah, well, the whole subject of healthcare, one of the things they say is President Obama hasn't done anything. They say President Obama is the worst president we've ever had, and he hasn't accomplished anything as president. Bullshit. Let's talk about the Affordable Healthcare Act.
Yeah.
Because of the many things Obama has accomplished, including killing Bin Laden and the Healthcare Act and the NSA spying on everybody. No. But don't look into that.
Everyone else was in on that. That's
everybody's spying on everybody. They have websites where you can watch women shower. Don't go to those either.
What?
I've never been there.
Names? No names. No names. I need no names.
I have a camera hooked up in Jesse's shower. So
that's what that red light is.
When you hear popcorn munching and you hear
I hope that's the popcorn munching.
That's the popcorn
munching. Okay, cool. I was really concerned for a minute.
But yeah, with the Healthcare Act, he made it affordable for everyone to get healthcare. And for the most part, that's true. There are definitely more opportunities now than there have ever been for people to get healthy. The bad thing about the Healthcare Act is that it's not just a possibility to get health care. It's a requirement. This is the problem I have with the Health Care Act, is yes, they've made it more affordable for more people, but at the same time, if you don't have the health care that you should have, they will fine you per year, and it raises every year, and that money goes straight to the government. So, in essence, if you don't have the health care that you should have anyway,
should, quote unquote, determined by another party.
Yeah. Then you get fined, and then the government takes money. So it's not really affordable health care if they're forcing you to get it, and then if you don't get it, they're just taking money from you anyway. It's cheaper to pay the fine than it is to get the health care. I myself, I'm going to throw it out there. I don't have health care. I did, and Lindsay, my fiance, has had health care for years and has never used it. So we've paid monthly for something she has never used on the off chance that if something went wrong, she would have it. Yeah. And, you know, when you're young, you think you're invincible. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to need it. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm certainly not young. My last name
is But the mindset. Ah, so you did it there.
Yeah. But the mindset's still there that I don't need this, so I don't want to pay for it. Now, I could easily have a heart attack. Heart disease runs through my family. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with me. And if that happened, I'm fucked. I'm like Jesse's grandpa. I've got $1 million bill waiting on me, baby. But what do you think about that? The healthcare, the Affordable Healthcare Act, Obamacare, as the Republicans like to call it, government issued healthcare. Because I don't know if you heard that if you refer to it as government, forced instead of the option, then people will dislike it more.
Fox News. That's the fire word right there. That's what you get on.
The Fox News is the fire word. What do you think about that? I mean, what do you think of what do you think of Obamacare?
I appreciate that. As you alluded to, people like to ramble and rant and rave that Obama has accomplished nothing.
Yes.
It may not be a perfect system. Oh, well, or a lot of other media outlets, including cough, cough, local ones. But nonetheless, a lot of people like to state that it's a poor system. And admittedly, there are flaws. I'm not going to say by any means that this is great, signed up for it, because I have not. My mother has at times. I think right now she's adopting the same philosophy that you have. I'll pay the fine because it's cheaper, and I'll take care of that later.
Yeah.
But at least a system's been put in place. This has been a theoretical thing since Lyndon B. Johnson. Or we go a little bit further back. I mean, even in terms of like Social Security.
A little bit further back. I mean, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Well, I mean, if we're jumping further LBJ. Back today. That's right.
Let's go back a little bit further. George Washington.
Well, yeah. His philosophy on healthcare was that only the rich white people get it, right?
Which one? Obama? I mean, I
yes. President Obama totally put that out there.
Rich white President Obama.
Now that's a caricature I want to see. Cody Sandusky and White Obama running for the 2016 ticket.
White right Obama. Now. Oh.
White Obama.
Jesse, what are you doing over there?
I'm looking something up real quick.
Is it related?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, it's kind of closer to where I was.
So, I just wanted to check something real quick because I thought I'd remember seeing this. So, you know, we're trashing on St. Francis Hospital in particular. Me and Shannon have had a few bad incidents there.
And other people I know who I can't name because of affiliations with it. Okay. So that's all I'll say.
St. Francis Hospital is rated the 6th best hospital in the state of Missouri.
And that's why the lawsuit didn't go through.
Yeah. So as much shit as they fuck up, and as like ridiculously overpriced as everything is, and as many complaints as we have about it, it is the 6th best hospital in the state of Missouri.
Meaning there are worse hospitals out there. That's like when Marion Barry won mayor of New York again.
No, I mean, not New York. If we're looking
at Marion Barry, mayor.
Let me see here, real quick.
Washington? I gotta look. Maybe. Jesse, you keep talking. I gotta find out where crack smoking mayor Marion Barry was from.
So real quick, just see. Approximately, I'm not going to check the exact number here.
Oh, no, we don't.
St. Francis is number 6 in the state of Missouri out of 220.
Yes.
So there are 214 hospitals in the state of Missouri that are worse than St. Francis Medical Center.
And for some people, including two of the three of us at this table, I don't have too many direct experiences with St. Francis. That's a petrifying thought.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. Mayor.
Okay.
Marion Barry, smoke crack.
I thought it was East Coast somewhere. I couldn't remember specifically. He's dead. Yeah. That tells me what don't smoke crack, kids.
Crack will do that to you. Yeah. Jesse, I completely missed what you said. You said there's over 220 hospitals in the state of Missouri?
Yeah, 220, approximately 220 hospitals in the state of Missouri on this list. St. Francis is number six
out of
from the top. Like, it is the 6th best out of 220.
And that's...
There are 214 hospitals that are worse than St. Francis.
And each one of them, I can't think of a single hospital that's suffering financially. You go to these places.
Southeast. I was about to say, Southeast is deep in the red.
I have not been to Southeast in so long.
Apparently nobody else is either.
Yeah, well. Although they're not collecting enough money to give themselves a floor.
Once my parents passed away, they stopped making money off them because they were in there every week, I swear.
Well, like at Southeast, I remember hearing a little while back there was some sort of IT fiasco where they lost, I don't know, some like 60% of patient records.
Uh-huh.
Including like money owed by those patients. So,
I remember hearing about this from my former affiliation.
Somebody played Monopoly and got real happy, but then they sent in, you know, their payment accidentally and they're like, ha ha!
We found it! We have the money, guys!
We know you owe us money.
How much do I owe you? And they're just like, 40,000.
Yeah.
But, tabs. But open. I had it down to 27,000.
Nope.
I just had a tooth removed. You guys aren't even dentists.
So yeah,
we had to find dentist tools for it. That's $14,000.
They did end up bringing somebody down from St. Louis or something like that. They have a new, I guess, CEO now.
Well, that's a rotating position, much like the guest list on Podzilla 1985,
or the district managers for GameStop.
Oh, bang, 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 bang. Yeah. So
all around.
Shots fired.
Burn in hell, Jackie.
Whoa!
I mean, did I say
that out loud? That's a BFG fired. That's not even a shot at this point.
Bioforce gun. Big fucking gun.
That's there right. You go. I say, like, hold on.
I mean, you exclaim in surprise. Do you really disagree with me?
Moving on.
All right.
I got no duck in this hunt, so I can't say anything.
So anyway, yeah. Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. So yeah, Southeast. They got a new CEO, I guess. Now they're doing better. They're getting money back. They've rotated a lot of the staff out that were apparently not so great. So, I don't know. Southeast, I guess, they're almost out of the red, but not quite there.
Yep. I'll state quick rumors for my former affiliations. Rumors, if you can't see the hand gestures on an audio podcast.
Remember, this is all over the internet, Cody.
That's right.
Cody Sandducky.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a mallard.
With a suit.
Don't look
blue blazer, red tie, power tie, much like George Stephanopoulos. Anyway. There are rumors that facility will be bought out at some point in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, someone was saying Barnes Jewish was looking at it.
That is one. I have heard whispers that Mercy from St. Louis will be looking at it, although religious hospitals are avoiding it because apparently the Catholic Church doesn't want two Catholic facilities in one city.
I thought it was so cursed that even God won't go near that one. There's a sign on the hospital rooms that says no prayer.
I had to skip blaspheme on that one. I almost went down that path.
So on this list, I found Barnes Jewish. It's actually below St. Francis.
Well, I got beef with them. That's another story for another time.
And might I also add that Cody Sandducky is the most active podcaster we've ever had. He is gesturing. He is moving back and forth. It's like a beautiful dance he's doing.
Wasted energy because you don't see a damn bit of it.
Me and Jesse sit perfectly still like stones and stare at each other as we speak.
I just can't look away from his eyes.
And I can't look away from his beard.
Well, I can look away from the glowing Xbox 360
that's
light
all
across
you see
from me.
Is a wall.
There's no soul across from me, so I have to kind of interpret my own.
Well, you know, from someone that has medical problems, let me read what was, I don't know, you know if you guys have seen this, Gina Garrett, who is a relative of mine, one of the few that I have left that I speak to, she posted on the status I posted about the show tonight, and she said, I have MS, and without Medicaid, I don't know where I would be. I was diagnosed with when the insurance companies just dump you, there was no option. Now I can only get the meds that cost $314 per day. If I have Medicaid. Once I have to do Medicare or if I was married, I could no longer get this awesome med for free. How can I afford $314 per day?
Yeah, now, I want to go back to something in the beginning of that because that's something else that really frustrates me about insurance companies. The fact that she got diagnosed with MS and then was dumped by her insurance provider.
Right.
That is so fucked up to me. Because basically what that's saying is the insurance provider saw like, oh shit.
She's gonna use it.
This is gonna cost us money.
Yeah.
Fuck all of that.
Yeah.
They dump her because they're actually going to have to pay for the service they're providing.
Yep. For the service that they provide.
Yeah.
It's like if you took your car to the mechanic, he's like, yeah, we'll take a look at it. And then he looked at it and said, oh shit, there's something actually wrong with this car. Get rid of it. I can't work on it.
Yeah. Like, cause, or even worse, because like this is someone that she has presumably been paying money to.
Yeah.
So she has given money for however many X number of years to this insurance company. And when she finally decides, great, I have insurance, they're going to pay for this problem that I have because that's why I pay for insurance. The insurance company's like, no, fuck you. get the fuck away from us because you are going to cost us money. You are no longer going to be giving us money. You are going to be taking it from us.
Here's the passion we all talked about at the beginning of the podcast.
No, this
is the rage and anger. And no, it's completely justified. I will by no means try to excuse that.
How does the rest of the world handle healthcare? At least a good chunk of the world handle healthcare.
Some form of social funded either through government
yes.
or for public entities.
I read on here somebody said that an operation, and I forget what he had to have done, an operation that would have cost him $10,000 in the United States cost him $300 in Thailand.
Yeah.
$300 versus $10,000. We are one of the richest countries. Well, no, we're not.
We print money like we're one of the richest countries.
Like we're ballers, but really we ain't.
We're the monopoly, man. We'll hand it out as much as you want, but it don't mean shit.
Yeah, but, you know, this country can't provide its people with healthcare. It's ridiculous. We're a free country. We're the greatest country in the world. And in a lot of ways, we are. This is the one way we are not. That and we kill black people for being black.
Yeah.
But that's another show for another
It's another couple shows.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's okay to put in God We Trust on police cars.
You know, I didn't know if we were going to get to that tonight. I told Ace I was going to mention it, and then I forgot it because as soon as us three get in here, we just start rolling with the punches.
It just goes.
A quick
diatribe
a tangent.
So yeah. I can calm down a little.
Yeah, well, are you?
I am much less heated about this. No, don't get me wrong. I'm upset about this, but like nothing pisses me off more than insurance companies.
Yeah, well, because you've been fucked by them.
Oh, yeah.
Hard.
I
over and over again.
Over and over again. And it's like a goddamn porno.
Fucking car insurance is the same way.
You got DP'd.
Like, you have to have car insurance.
Buy the car and health insurance.
It's a goddamn law to have car insurance. If you don't have car insurance, you can't drive your fucking car.
Then isn't that ridiculous? Forget the tangent for a second. Let's go on a different tangent about insurance. And especially, like, car insurance. So I have to pay for car insurance in case I get in an accident to pay for what's going on. Can I just pay for it? No, you have to have proof of insurance so the government can take money from you every month.
The stuff, it's not the government. Well, you're not paying the government, you're paying the fucking insurance companies.
Yeah.
And you're paying out the ass for that. And then the worst part is, okay, so people have full coverage insurance to pay for damages to their own vehicle. Liability, of course, the insurance company pays for damage that you do to someone else's car.
Which is what I have.
Yeah, and then full coverage insurance, if shit happens to your car, they pay for it. Except they don't. Because whatever you did somehow doesn't qualify.
It's not covered.
It's not covered.
Yeah.
Like, for example, my friend Carrie. You remember Carrie Walker? I'm sure you've met her at some point.
Yeah. What the fuck? She's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Well, other Jackson alum, so yes, I am aware.
Okay, so yeah, you guys know Carrie Walker. She got a brand new, well, not a brand new car. She got a new-ish car. New to her, pre-owned from the Hyundai dealership. Hit and run. Like, the first week she had it. Some car hit her, left. So she called her insurance company to report the hit and run. She called the police and everything to report the hit and run. The insurance company asked her if she had, any proof that it happened, any license plate, you know, anything on the car that it happened. She did not. It was a hit and run. She was inside her apartment. She didn't see shit.
He ran. That's why it's called a hit and run.
Right. So the insurance wouldn't cover
it. Simple moniker.
It's not called a hit and wait.
Yeah. The insurance wouldn't cover the damage to her car.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't
prove.
She couldn't identify who hit her.
Yeah.
So, she is paying this insurance company to repair her vehicle if something were to happen to it. But, something happened to it, but they're not going to pay for it. Because the right thing didn't happen to it.
It's ridiculous that insurance is required. In no place should insurance be required. You should have a choice. If you want to take the risk, it's your money. You know, you should have that right. Now, I understand if you're poor and you hit a car, if you don't have insurance, they're not going to get any money from you. If you have insurance, then, you know, the insurance pays it out. Yeah. But still, I feel like insurance should not be a requirement. You know, if you have the money especially, you should not be required to pay for something that you're not going to use.
Right.
I sit on the middle of the fence with this, I guess, in terms of the two separate topics. Car insurance, maybe a little bit more on the side of required because, again, outside of the fact that 90% of the time they won't pay it, so it's a waste of time. But on the few chances that someone else hits you.
You don't want to get hit and then they'll not be able to pay.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, because I don't want to have anything that they won't pay for me because I was a victim of it. My insurance will find no reason to pay for it because why should they? They're not covering that part. That would be the only reason I can justify that. Healthcare, I completely agree, and I'm sure we'll funnel back into that.
The way I see it, if the government wants to require insurance, they should be providing it.
Yes.
And it should be standardized. There shouldn't be, like, any reason why The big thing about the insurance companies, they look at your risk and they put all sorts of factors into that. Because of the fact that I am a man, well, now that I'm over 25, it's not as big of a deal.
Lucky.
Wait, that he's a man? Are you jealous?
He's over 25.
Oh, okay.
I just purchased a new car, new, brand new, and I don't want to disclose how much money I don't have to pay for insurance for that.
So yeah, if you are below the age of 25 and you are a male, your insurance rates are higher than a female under 25 because statistically you are more likely to get in an accident or a traffic violation.
Now see, that doesn't make any sense because the laws of old dictated that if a woman is driving, you have to stand in front of the car and wave to other motorists that a woman is driving.
Yeah.
That is a true story. That is a law.
I believe that.
That is a law. That.
Yeah. So statistically, men are more likely to get in an accident. There's more likely to get speeding tickets. Well, that's actually the big part of it. The, you know, women, honestly, like, I know it's a stereotype.
I said, Jesse, be very careful on this.
I know it's a stereotype. It's on the stereotype here in a second.
It's not always completely true, but I know of many women that have used this technique. When a police officer pulls them over for speeding, they start bawling and they get out of the fucking ticket. So
it doesn't work as well for us.
No, absolutely
does
not.
If Big Jesse, Big Cody, and Big Shannon are in a car and a cop walks up, we're just, I didn't know.
Yeah. They're probably asking us what we've consumed that night and we're getting a sobriety test on the side of the road.
Yeah. Right.
That's what happens if we cry in a car.
Yeah. So, or if we were black,
they'd
shoot us.
Yeah. Okay. No. Anyway, so yeah, we get more, like men are issued tickets more often than women, so the insurance rates are higher.
Right.
If you drive a red car, your insurance rates are higher. If you drive a sports car versus an SUV, your insurance rates are higher. It's stupid.
Yeah. Of course, it's a scam.
Well, yeah, I'll give you an example, you know, to give kind of the comparison. I have a sister who's only 18 months younger than I am. So kind of figure out that window. She has a 2015 Honda Civic two-door. It is a sedan or is a coupe. She has a coupe. As someone who's younger than me, who has speeding tickets on her record, I have a lower level version of a Honda Civic as well. So new 2015 four-door sedan. My insurance for full coverage, which is required in the state of Missouri if you purchase a new vehicle and you have a lien on it,
yes,
is $30 more a month than hers. I have no violations currently on my record. The only thing I had was an accident that was declared closer to weather-related during the ice storm in 09 that being that long ago is no longer on my record.
Which also, if I remember correctly, is not covered by insurance companies.
No, that car was totaled. Yeah, that car was totaled.
If you have comprehensive, it does.
But that 96 Mazda Protege was not worth comprehensive.
And I'm a little offended by the term acts of God.
Acts of deity, acts of nature.
Acts of randomness is what it should be. Acts of weather.
Because there's a collision and comprehensive, and the two together are full coverage. And a collision insurance is if, you know, you hit somebody and it's your fault, they pay out. Comprehensive if, like, yeah, weather related, like a tree were to fall on your car.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, bad luck.
I want Act of Cthulhu insurance. In case I go insane one day.
And then you just drive off the side of the road. And
because it's not my fault. It's Cthulhu.
Right. So, yeah. And I'm assuming your sister has full coverage insurance as well.
Yeah, she has to. Anyway, she pays a lease.
Yeah, $30 less than you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Insurance. Fucking scam.
That's fun.
You know what else is a scam?
That?
Seatbelt laws.
Oh, that's true, too. It should be my own fucking choice if I want to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah. What business? Unless I fly through the window, fly into the other car's window, and impale the guy across from me, then I should not have to have any liability for anyone else other than myself.
Yeah. And the one defense that I've heard for that...
There is no defense.
I know. Because this defense is bonkers. But a little bit of truth to it, I guess. The one defense for, like, why you should be wearing a seatbelt, why it impacts other drivers, if you get in a head-on collision and you're not wearing a seatbelt, you will flying through your windshield and you die versus the seatbelt possibly saving your life, then the other driver gets survivor's guilt and you basically just fuck up their life because they killed you. Or at least that's how they see it.
No!
No.
That's not a defense!
I said it was bonkers!
The only defense I can justify, and this isn't even just as a law, just as a common courtesy in a vehicle to wear a seatbelt, if you or driver or act of nature does something to cause the vehicle to overturn, I don't want your body killing me just in the act of gravity working the way it's supposed to.
That'd be a cool way to die, though.
No, I got other plans on ways to die in a much more fun fashion. This is not saying I'm taking myself out.
You heard
this
it
is
first on Podzilla 1985.
Cody Sandusky, or Sandusky, excuse me. I'll stick with the moniker. Yeah, well.
Automatic asphyxiation is where he's going.
I was going Duck Hunt joke, actually, but, well, we're going that way.
But, yeah.
Damn.
All right. So, before we wrap it up, let's bring it to what we said we were
going
to
talk about the In God We Trust.
In God We Trust. So, In God We Trust, in case you haven't heard, you say we're a local podcast. We broadcast out of Southeast Missouri. We have listeners all over the world, though, which is pretty cool in itself.
Yeah.
That motherfuckers in France listen to us, especially because I talk a lot of shit about France because they're a bunch of assholes.
I did notice you on the last
just
podcast.
Sunday, yeah.
On Sunday, you were talking shit about France. Yeah.
Well, here in Cape Girardeau, the police
French have, sounding, by the way,
have started what it
said French sounding, by the way.
Police,
it is French.
No, Girardeau.
Yeah, Girardeau is French.
And well, you know, my roommate, Robert Marley. You know? but yeah, they started putting In God We Trust stickers on the cars.
Yep.
Because were provided by the Missouri Sheriff's Convention, and it was voted on at a retreat in Branson last week.
Yeah.
I read the story because I hate myself.
And see, it was used, like, the funds were actually donated. Like this is a charitable organization, like a charity that you can donate to, and they help sheriff's departments with, you know, various needs financially, like, technical support, et cetera. I don't remember exactly what the organization is supposed to assist with. And apparently also spending, you know, your donated dollars on fucking In God We Trust stickers for local PDs.
Well, if it helps them solve if they can start getting, divine help so they can solve a fucking case, go for it. Let me tell you about the Cape Police Department. How many murders were there last year in Cape? In the span of 2 months, there was like 5 or 6.
I did find out, and I don't know how confidential this information is supposed to be, but I did find out that every single one of those deaths were gang-related, and each death was a member of one or the other gang. There are two gangs involved.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could assume that with as frequent as the murders were last year.
Yeah.
And even this year, there have been plenty of shootings, and I don't think they've solved a single case. I need to check that.
They know who did it, and they know about the gangs, but I don't know that they...
Well, as long as we contain it to that area. As long as they leave the white folk alone.
That's their philosophy. Yeah. I don't know. Man. Like, I have very limited information on that, but I do know that apparently every single person that was shot in all those shootings that were happening nearby this store, located in convenient downtown Broadway for all your gaming needs, retro and new.
We take pre-orders.
Plug, plug, plug. Please stay away from here late at night. Might get shot. Gang-related incidents.
Stay away in the daytime. You might get shot. Depends on what you're bringing us.
Anyway, yeah, they were all members of two, I guess, rival gangs here in Cape Girardeau, and that's how that was happening. But at the same time, like, looking at other stuff, did you hear about the picketing that was happening today?
No.
Have you heard about Victims Don't Count?
What?
Vaguely. Is a new group that started here in SEMO, or here in Cape Girardeau specifically, over, I don't remember the guy's name.
Michael Brown.
It was a local incident. Paul Raines, I think is the guy's name.
Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar.
It was a series of burglaries that was happening to this family. Stole from the house once, police came in, did their investigation. Mr. Raines came back, like ransacked their house again. Police.
Well, yeah, the first time was just to case the joint for the robbery.
Right.
Mr. Raines was also called Roberto. What's the matter, Red? You scared?
Anyway, the second time they came in, stole more electronics, TVs, etc., busted in the doors. So the family changed the locks and everything else, reinforced all that good stuff. So third time they get burgled by the same person. doors are completely busted down. Everything is jacked, including a bunch of keys to a classic car collection that was stored nearby, as well as a then brand new Cadillac Escalade. And the Cadillac Escalade was taken out in the middle of nowhere, set on fire, and just completely burned to the ground. Now,
you still love those people, Cody?
Which ones?
Jesse, go on.
Okay.
So at this point,
thanks.
So at this point, like at each point, the sheriff's department has come in. They've done their investigation, And after the third burglary, they finally get information to figure out where the guy lives. So they get the SWAT team after this guy. The guy obviously goes on the run. They get a tip that he's in a nearby hotel.
Oh, is this the shooting that happened over here in Cape where they busted the door in and they ended up shooting the guy?
At the hotel?
Yeah.
No, because they didn't shoot the guy.
Okay, because this guy got gunned down. So
I think this is a different situation because the guy was arrested and the bond was set at like $20,000, which for this particular situation, not really a big deal for this guy. So yeah, he gets out of jail and he tries to run at this point they find him. The first time they find him at his house, they show up at SWAT team, find him in his house and, they arrest him. They pay the $20,000 bond to get him out. The guy tries to run. Then they find him at the hotel, bring him back. Now the bond is set at $75,000 and they ended up convicting him, everything else, except that they hit him on another crime. Basically, it was a plea bargain situation. He was given 16 years, but realistically, he's only going to be in jail for about 3 years, and the victims, the families, are seeing nothing. They're getting no restitution. They're getting nothing. All their shit was just fucked, and then their one redeeming part where this motherfucker is going to spend the rest of his life in jail, he's going to get 2 to 3 years. So they didn't come back out and, you know, take whatever they've gotten back.
I'm waiting to see this tie into victims don't count. And you will in a second, but I just want to mention that the same could be said, you know, prison system, the law enforcement is just, it's flawed in general.
That's another fun podcast to have.
Yeah, yes. And you could say the same thing about people that are wrongly imprisoned who get out. I mean, this has happened. Spend 10, 20 years in prison for a crime they did not commit because of false testimony or lack of DNA evidence at the time before, you know, they really started using that kind of stuff. And then when they get out of jail, they get nothing. They get nothing from the
state. Put back out into the world.
They're just like, all right, hey, sorry we kept you in prison for 20 years. Here's your freedom. And they have nothing. The world has passed them by. They have no money. They have no job. You know,
they have no skills.
They have no skills unless they learned it in prison,
yeah.
Which they probably learned how to shiv a guy. That's the best they could do.
Didn't learn computers.
Yeah, it's flawed. It's horribly flawed. The American justice system is a flawed device.
Yes. Much like the healthcare system.
Much like any, especially government run system. If the government has a hand in it, more than likely it's going to be fucked.
That does seem to be the going trend.
Matter if you're Republican or Democrat, by the way. Let me stress that. The government, I'm not saying Republicans or Democrats specifically. I'm saying the government as a whole. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's because everything's run by major corporations.
Bilderberg Group.
United States is a company.
I actually heard one of my favorite, quick tangent, one of my favorite suggestions.
This classic Godzilla.
I know. one of my favorite suggestions that someone made was that all politicians should have jackets. With, you know, all their corporate sponsors. So
like
you know
NASCAR?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Politics should be like NASCAR. And they should have jackets with patches of their biggest corporate sponsors. So you know exactly who they're voting for. Cause it for damn sure isn't the people in their constituency. Anyway.
Victims don't matter.
Victims don't count.
Oh shit, my bad.
that's the name of the organization. And it's, I think it was created by the friends and family of the family that was fucked in this whole situation.
Right.
And basically, like, the sheriff's department's pretty pissed off because, you know, they put this guy in jail and then the bond was set way too low for this particular person who was also a flight risk. Bond was set too low. So the guy just got right back out. They caught him again and they imprisoned him. But after the plea bargaining and all this other bullshit, he's going to be right back out on the streets in no time at all. So, like, the sheriff's department's pissed about it. The people involved are pissed about it, especially since they saw nothing. Like, the government kept that $20,000 from the first bond.
Oh, yeah.
That was revoked, and, yeah, that was just the government's.
Yeah.
The family saw none of it. Yeah. So, yeah, the family just got fucked hard, and they're the ones that started this organization of Victims Don't Count, because the victims are seeing nothing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've even run into that a little bit here at Gaming Grounds.
Oh, something gets stolen from us?
Yeah, something gets stolen from us. We don't see shit. They eventually arrest the guy. They get the property back or whatever. Well, yeah, remember, we identify people out of a lineup.
Yeah, but did they ever get arrested?
They had to for us to have a lineup to identify them from.
I personally had, you know, a game stolen from me in Jackson about a year and a half ago.
Except for that guy.
Yeah. I gave the police his name, his address, his phone number, where he worked, and video evidence. Never heard a single thing from the police about it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, like, the two people here in Cape that it's happened, like, the two big ones anyway.
Yeah.
I guess three now. Well, four. Shit.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
The one I think most of is Cameron.
Who
got his stuff stolen, traded in here, and then just to protect our assets, we have to charge him the trade-in price to give him his stuff back.
Except for, like, the PlayStation 4 and the other stuff the police took that day and just gave him back.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. It's a whole other tangent, Kobe.
Yeah.
No, I think I know the individual involved, but it's the name you mentioned, so.
Yeah, basically what ended up happening, like, this person traded in all this stuff that he stole from a regular customer, a good customer. Traded in all the stuff that he stole from him, got hundreds of dollars in store credit that he spent on games in the store. And then the police required us to give back to them. Like, anyway, they confiscated a lot of the product that was traded in. So basically, we're out the system that we received in trade, as well as all the games that the dude picked up. So we're out several hundred dollars and just nothing for that. We never got anything back for it.
No, and then people wonder why we do that. That's why.
Right.
Because we see nothing from stuff that gets taken from us.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's the same with, like, anything that's been stolen. Like, the guy that stole... What was the other one we had to do the lineup on?
The DS.
The Yoshi's Island
3DS. Yeah, I did the lineup on that and gave the guys all...
Yeah, and so we never got...
We didn't get shit.
So victims don't count. Yeah, victims don't count. They might catch the criminal, but...
So what's the picketing? Let's go back to 10 minutes ago when you mentioned the fucking picketing.
That's what it is. They're just talking about, like, oh, you know. Yeah.
Which we go back to then that the police can't catch anybody because they're not that... You know, I'm going to watch my mouth.
Yeah.
On the off chance a police officer listens to this show, I don't want to...
Well, no, it's the judicial...
I don't want anyone to break my tail light and tell me I got a tail light out.
Yeah, it's the judicial system fucking us.
Everything's fucked.
Like, the victims, system doing it.
Yeah, the victims are just...
You know, if you are a person living in the United States, all it takes is for one thing to go wrong with you in one way or another, whether it be your car breakdown, your body breakdown, or someone to rob you, and you will get no help from anyone. These government programs and these insurance programs are scams to take you for a ride that you will never forget.
Yeah, despite, like, again, all three of those things, whether it be with your tax dollars, your actual, like, income, is all going to paying for all these things that are supposed to protect you and protect your rights. And then they're shoving the largest of dildos up the most uncomfortable orifice imaginable.
DP.
I can't say any better myself.
That's quack, really quack.
Duck penetration?
Duckle penetration. All right, so what the fuck were we talking about?
We got so far off the track. This is train derailment Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's, I was going back to healthcare. Christ. I forgot we were jumping back that.
Well, oh my God. Let's finish up with the In God We Trust thing. All right. Very quickly, because we're over an hour of rambling here at this point.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I think we missed
ranting,
the point.
Not rambling.
There is passion.
Rambling and ranting together. Anyway.
I like it.
So why is In God We Trust such a bad thing? We'll just listen to it. In God We Trust. This is America where we have religious freedom.
That's the U.S. motto. In God We Trust.
This is a Christian country.
Is founded on God.
Founded on God and Christianity. And Cody, I'm so sorry.
No, it's in case the audio listeners are listening at home, I basically just did a face palm as the only, I assume, maybe the only active Christian here, despite
active,
a few things I've said.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is on there. I guess giving the voice of maybe someone affiliated with the phrase itself.
Someone that people would go, well, Cody's on our side.
No.
Cody would go, no, I'm not.
No. Why would this be? Why is this donated?
Why is it necessary?
It's not. Let's just get to the fact of the matter. It's not. This is a waste of space on the vehicle. Heaven forgive whatever deity I'm speaking to in that reference. There's no purpose for it on that vehicle. It serves no purpose for the judicial service they're supposed to provide.
In the Bible Belt, it's good PR. And that's, I guess, the thought here in Cape Girardeau County is that it's good PR.
We'll get them back on our side.
Well, there are other counties locally, I think, in the story from KFES 12, which I think we're all referencing.
Like Madison County.
Jefferson County, Illinois.
And let me just go on record saying, as a Satanist, I am offended by this.
Cthulhu is my chosen deity. I am also very offended.
As an interracial homosexual couple, I feel like this is an insult to everything that I fight for. I'm both of those, yeah.
Yeah, Shannon.
I also have a multiple personality disorder, one of which being a gay black man. named Teddy.
It's a good name.
I wonder if Teddy listens to the show.
I certainly hope not. you know, that's as good. So it's bullshit. Everyone agrees it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Except for all the Christians nearby. Have you actually looked at the comments on the KFVS 12?
I tend to try not to.
Yeah. Holy shit. It's bad.
I forget who said it, but they said that the KFVS 12 boards, I think it was Hunter, are a step above topics, but not
much.
He did
recently. And I sometimes disagree with them depending on the topic.
So it's bullshit.
That one sentence I saw in that comment real quick, it was something like, I think all you that's against this, be the idiots, not the God-loving Christians.
Yeah. Jesse, I want to share a video with you tonight. A video about Christianity. We'll talk about that after the show. But we all agree, the atheist, the Satanist, and the Christian all agree that this is a terrible thing. Please don't think I'm a Satanist. Because that rumor is going to get started, and that's going to follow me forever. And
from what Shannon said, also, I am not a Satanist.
Or an atheist.
Or an atheist, really.
Yeah. We're all agnostic here. Well, except Cody.
I was about to say, I love it. I just stated this 30 seconds prior.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
About what?
Exactly. We're going to wrap it up on that. I think we talked about healthcare about 3 hours ago. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, learned something, or just got angry with us.
That's okay.
Or at us.
Yeah.
Either one. Yeah. Hey, let us know in comments.
Email us.
Podzilla1985@hotmail.com.
Thank you, Tody. Tody with the plug.
Tody!
Damn it!
So my dad's name, Cody Sandusky have all been uttered tonight.
And Toad. Toddy. Is his name Toddy? Toddy?
Tony.
Tony. Okay.
I was about to say you said Tony, I thought.
No, I said Tody.
Tony Sandusky. We've got it. I want a mushroom on top of the mallard in a soup.
Jesus Christ. Where do you think this money's coming from? We don't get shit donated to us like the cops do. We pay for this.
Do I have to donate a pencil and a sketchbook? Someone's got to be talented enough to do this around here.
I asked Lonnie for a pencil and a sketchbook once. He charged me interest on it. And on that note, we're going to call it a night. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you back on... hey, Jesse, where's that Rooster Teeth show?
Jesse, where's that Podzilla 1985 sports show?
Well, that's your show. That's your show, you son of a bitch.
We're passing blame around here tonight. I'm going to pass it on someone else.
I couldn't find my power adapter, and I didn't want to post it today because we're doing this show tonight. It will be posted tomorrow because there will also be, thanks to some scheduling conflict, a delay on the marvelous Jesse and Chris.
Okay, so we got an idea of schedule, and look forward to that. Live from the Rooster Teeth Expo's hotel. The Nerd Up crew, including Stephen Bride, who's sitting next to me right here.
That show will be posted tomorrow evening or tomorrow morning. It'll be tomorrow.
And I do want to apologize for the couple occasions Tody Sandusky got real excited and real loud on that mic. I'm watching the waves, and normally it's okay, but then every once in a while he would just, "Oh my God, take over here!" And I just blew out everybody's eardrum.
I would apologize, but you should probably expect it a little more often with the sports show.
That's true. This guy knows what he's doing. We're fucking amateurs. Anyway.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that demon magic on me.
But for Jesse Kimmel, for Stephen Bright, sort of, and for Tody Sandusky, good night and good day.
Quack, quack. Good night.